came in, he suggested that he was pretty sure I was preaching this sermon tonight because he knew it was a ragged sermon. Back a few years ago, when preachers used charts, people jokingly said they preached ragged sermons. And I think I'll drop that subject right there and not go any further because I can see some implications that might come along with it. I enjoy using aids in preaching. I have not used as many lately as I did some time ago. One of the reasons for that is that it's not easy to use aids in this auditorium, a chart or a planograph board, which I've used some and maybe hope to again, because of the fact that when the annex is being used, it's not easy for us to use this kind of approach. Tonight I want us to think about a very, very simple lesson. I think we have got to get back to some of the basic concepts of the Bible. I really believe that there is a tendency today, at least on the part of some, to do most of their reading in books that are written by humans and read less in the book that was penned or guided, at least, by our Heavenly Father. And I think what's happening sometimes is that we tend to get away from the basic concepts of God's Word. Tonight I want us to think about the fact that the power of salvation is in the blood of Christ. I want you to especially concentrate on this word. Gary, as he always does, has chosen songs tonight that are very appropriate. We sang just a few minutes ago, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. And then we just sang, What Can Wash Away Our Sins? Nothing but the blood. And at the end of the lesson, when we sing the invitation song, it will be the song, There's Power in the Blood. Sometimes there are those who will accuse us in the church of not believing that the power of salvation is in the blood of Christ. I have had people who would say to me, if you teach the necessity of being baptized in order to be saved, then that means that you do not believe that the power of salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it is interesting that in the area that Lucas read a few minutes ago, Romans 6 starts out talking about the subject of God's grace. And then within the context of the grace of God, talks about the connection that we have to make to the death of Jesus Christ in order to be saved, and shows how that is done in connection with baptism. I want us to see three things tonight as we look at the chart. In the first place, I want us to notice that the power for salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may have noticed already, if not, I'd like to point it out to you, that there is simply a quotation from the Bible in each of these blocks where the words are in black and the scripture is given in orange. Of course, that has no significance that it's in orange. At least I'm fair to you Alabama fans. I've got something in red, too. But these are all scriptures in every block that's in this section, the four here, and the four here. Notice four things that are said about the blood of Jesus Christ that emphasizes to us that the power of salvation is in the blood. First, the blood of Jesus Christ cleans. 1 John 1:7 says, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You and I get our hands dirty. We begin to look for something that has the power to cleanse the physical body. We know that basically there is power in water, and especially soap and water, to get our hands clean. We realize that those who have manufactured that soap have put into it some ingredients that are powerful enough to cut dirt from the hands or other parts of the body and help us to be clean. Tonight we're talking about the spiritual body, And there is no physical element on this earth that can take care of the filthiness and the dirt of the spiritual body. In fact, Hebrews 9 points out that even the blood of animals could not really take care of the cleansing of sin. It was dependent upon, or we were dependent upon, God's grace to send His Son. And let that Son die on the cross, where it says in John 19:34 that from His side came blood and water, that we find that which is powerful enough to clean the soul of man and the spiritual body. Folks, I'm not aware of anything else that's ever been known that will clean the soul. In fact, I believe if there had been anything else that was powerful enough to clean the soul, that God would not have allowed His Son to die on the cross as He did. The only power that is powerful enough to clean the soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. But notice also that the power in the blood will redeem us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, and the pronoun whom refers back to Christ earlier in the chapter, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We sang, redeemed by the blood of the Lord. I suppose the best definition of the word redeem is to buy back. One owns something, he loses it, he buys it back, he redeems it. Man belonged to God, man left God. God wanted to buy man back, as it were. And the power that He knew was necessary for that redemption, for that buying back, was the blood of His Son. Again, I know of nothing else that is big enough to be the right kind of price to redeem the soul of man. I've never heard of anything else. I don't expect anything to be discovered that is powerful enough to redeem man, but we do have the power that is needed in the blood. In the third place, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to draw us in the direction of God and Christ. Let's begin at verse 12 in Ephesians 2, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That's the drawing power. Ye who were far off are made nigh, coming in the direction of God, but notice why. By the blood of Jesus Christ. The power is in the blood of Jesus Christ to take someone who is without God, without Christ, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, spiritual Israel, one who is away from the covenants of promise, one who has no hope. I don't know of anything else that can draw man in the direction of God except the blood of Christ and all that is associated with that blood as discussed in the gospel. But there is the power in that blood of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice that Christ made when we understand it and put it in proper focus to bring us all the way from the outside to the inside, all the way from being without hope to where we have the hope that is the anchor of the soul. And the power for that is in the blood. And then there is the power that unites. And it's interesting that the version that Lucas read from a few minutes ago included that word unite even in Romans 6. But I want you to think with me in Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Reconciliation is the idea of bringing two things together. There is a problem, there is a difference, there is a separation. There is the need of reconciliation. God has done everything that He needs to do to be there. Now He wants us to come in His direction. And the power that not only can draw us in His direction, but that can unite us with God and reconcile us with God once again to where we do not have something that stands between us and Him. You remember Isaiah 59 says, sin separates between man and God. And so the blood of Jesus Christ makes it possible for for us to be reconciled to God. It's by his death. And that's when his blood was shed. Now, so far, we've made one basic point that I want you to be sure that you understand. That the power for our salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And nowhere else can we find that power. It cleans, it redeems, it draws, and it unites. And that's why, especially the fact that nowhere else can we find that power, that's why when Jesus said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, God, if there is another way, choose it and don't let me die," that God, in a sense, turned his back on that request and let his son die because he knew, based upon his plan that had been in existence even before the beginning of the world, Ephesians 3, that it was going to take the blood of his son to make it possible for us to be saved. And so we have established clearly from the Word of God that the power of salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at the next column. What is it that is made and maintained by the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ? You can take a cake of soap and leave it in the wrapper and certainly agree that there is power in it, but until you understand the application and what needs the application and what is brought about by the application, it's not worth anything. I want to assert to you tonight and prove by the Word of God that it is the church which is established and maintained by the power that is in the blood. And I want you to see something clearly as we make these points, that when we tie this subject to the church and so show that the church is involved, that we are not removing the power from the blood. We've already established that the power is in the blood. But let's look at these four points again. The blood cleans, but what is cleaned? Ephesians 5:25 tells the husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Pronoun it refers back to the church in verse 25. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. The power is in the blood to clean, but what is it that's cleansed? What is it that is brought into existence, and what is it that is kept in existence and kept without spot and without blemish, as this passage even says, continues to cleanse us from all sins, even when we are in Christ? What is it that is said to be cleansed? It is the church. Well, look at the word redeemed. We showed that the power is in the blood, purchasing price is there, but what is it that's purchased? Paul, talking to the elders of Ephesus and the Isle of Miletus, said, "Take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." You ever seen some of these articles, or maybe heard people say, that teach the idea that the church is not important? Jesus, yes, the church, no. I remember seeing a picture a few years ago of a man, I believe he was in San Francisco, California, in a march, and he had a sign around his neck, said, "Jesus, yes, the church, no." Well, I'm of the opinion that he did not understand what the Bible said about the church was his first problem. But I've often wondered, if the church is unimportant, are we then to believe that God sent his son to shed his blood to purchase something that's not important? The greatest price that was ever paid was paid to purchase something that's not important. Just doesn't make common sense. Doesn't make sense. And certainly it does not fit the scripture, because the scripture says that the church is what was purchased by the blood. Here's the price. Here's the power to redeem. But here's what's redeemed: the church. Look at the word draw. We noticed how we come from without Christ to be in Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of the Lamb, but to what are we added when we're made nigh? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The power is still in the blood to bring us in that direction and to make it possible for us to enter and to cleanse us from sin that separates us between, or separates between us and God, so that we can be with God. But when we are added, we're added to the church, such as should be saved. Power's in the blood to save and to draw, but it's the church to which we're added. Look at the idea of unite. We notice that it's by the blood that we're reconciled to God, at least by his death where the blood was shed. But in Ephesians 2:16, and let's pick up at verse 14. We've stopped at verse 13 over here in Ephesians 2. Verse 14 talks about he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, containing ordinances for to making himself of the twain one new man, so making peace. Now especially notice verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now that passage goes ahead and reaffirms what we've already said over here, that this is done by the cross. It's made possible by the cross, but where is it? In the body. The reconciliation is made possible by the death. It's made possible by the cross. But where does that reconciliation take place? And when are we reconciled to God? He says the reconciliation is in the one body. And most of you know that passages like Ephesians 1:22 and 23, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24 say that the church is the same thing as the body. Now what have we shown? We have not taken the power out of the blood. We have simply shown that it is the church that is made and maintained by the power that is in the blood. It is the church that is cleansed. It was the church that was purchased. It is the church to which we are added when we draw nigh, and it is in the church that we are reconciled. But now, when does that take place? There is a third column here and point that is very important. We have shown where the power is. We've shown what is made and maintained by the power, but when does it take place? Can we know? Let's go to the same scripture and look. In Acts 22:16, Ananias was speaking to Saul of Tarsus. He had been told, by the way, in Acts 9:6, to go into Damascus and it'll be told you what you must do. Must do. Ananias says to Saul, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Now where is the cleansing power to wash away those sins? Still over here in the blood. And it'll continue to be in the blood. There's where the power is to do it. But when is it done? When one is scripturally baptized. And let me pause long enough here to get you to think for a moment. If someone believes that baptism is not necessary and believes that they are saved before they're baptized, how could they wash away their sins when they're baptized? If their sins are already gone, how can they do something like this when they're baptized? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. The power's in the blood to clean. It is the church that is cleansed. But when one is scripturally baptized, his sins are washed away. That's when it takes place. Look at the next line of thought. Redemption. Power in the blood to redeem. Church purchased. When? Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? There are only twice that I'm aware of where this word "into" is immediately before the word "Christ," and they're both one after the other on this chart. And in both instances, it comes after the word "baptize," or a form of that word. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, we're redeemed by the blood. It's the church that's purchased. But how do we get into the church and into Christ? We're baptized into Christ. And then look at the idea of being drawn by the power that's in the blood, added to the church. But when are we added to the church and when do we put on Christ? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now notice, we're talking about the drawing power. How much closer to Christ can you get than to put him on? We were without him, he says, back here before this happened. But now in Christ Jesus, how do we get into Christ? When do we put him on? For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, or into Christ, the same idea as this verse, now says in this one, have put on Christ. When does it take place? When we're baptized scripturally. In the fourth place, we are united by the power that's in the blood of Christ, reconciled to God by his death. That reconciliation takes place in the body, but when does that reconciliation take place? Acts 2:41 says that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. When were they united? When were they added? When they were baptized scripturally. Now notice what we've done. Have we removed the power out of the blood by emphasizing this column? Certainly not. The power is in the blood to clean, redeem, draw, and unite. It'll always be there. That's exactly where it is. Have we done anything to do away with the church by emphasizing? Certainly not. We've emphasized the church in our getting into it and what it is. We have simply shown when the power of the blood of Jesus Christ works. This is where the power is. This is what is made and maintained by the power. And this is when that power becomes active to put us into Christ and into his church. And everything that I presented to you tonight has simply been a quotation from the Word of God. And when you hear those teach that baptism is not necessary for salvation, and that people are saved before they're baptized, you just are not hearing them teach what the Word of God says. And when we emphasize the importance of scriptural baptism, I want you to notice that we have not emphasized any power in the water. We've left the power in the blood. But in order to obtain that power and the value that's associated with it, we have to be obedient to the commandments that are given to us by the Heavenly Father. The power is in the blood to clean, redeem, draw, and unite. The church is made and kept by the power that's in the blood. It is cleansed. It was purchased. We're added to it. We're reconciled in it. But we become a part of that church and Christ and contact the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ when we are scripturally baptized. Down through the years, I have said many times, and most preachers have, that in baptism we contact the power that's in the blood. Let me show you two passages that sort of put that idea together. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The power is in the blood to purge the conscience. But 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you and I, as penitent believers, and let me emphasize, we must be believers, we must be penitent. When we as penitent believers are baptized according to the Word of God, we are contacting the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleans, redeems, draws, and unites, puts us into the church and into Jesus Christ, and keeps on cleaning us as long as we hold on to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what the Bible says. And folks, I honestly believe that's not almost it. I believe that's it. The power is in the blood. The church is made and kept by the blood, by that power. And we contact that power when we are scripturally baptized into Christ. That's why at every service when we're together, we have an invitation song and we encourage people to become Christians. And we ought never to be ashamed to emphasize the fact that the power of salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought not to be ashamed to encourage people to come to Christ and to his church, and we ought never to be ashamed to teach exactly what the Bible teaches, that we must, as penitent believers, be baptized for the remission of sins to receive that power that's in the blood. If you've not been scripturally baptized tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ will take care of your sins. If you haven't, you've gone astray, that blood will keep on taking care of your sins. If you will confess, repent, and pray to God. The power is in the blood. And there's enough power there to save every one of us and to clean every one of us if we'll only be obedient. If you need to come to Christ, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Would you be free from the burden of sin? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonder.